Hey everybody, welcome back to Engaging the Phenomenon. Today, I'm going to discuss a somewhat controversial subject. At least to some, it's going to be controversial, but it is what it is. I just want to share this with people and somewhat set the record straight in my own regard. So, today I wanted to discuss my C-SETI experience. And of course, the reason this is highly controversial is because of Dr. Stephen Greer. He is a very controversial figure. And, you know, you have an entire spectrum of people who kind of hero worship Dr. Greer. And you have the other end of the spectrum where people call him a fraud, a con man, snake oil salesman, and all these kind of things. And you know, usually the truth usually lies somewhere in the middle. Okay, so I'm just gonna share my experience here, and again, it is what it is. So I became familiar with Dr. Greer somewhere around 2008. I found Dr. Greer's work because I was already having my own experiences, and I was at the breaking point, so you can say, of trying to find answers, because it was driving me nuts, to be honest, in a sense. So you know, obviously you have these kind of events and encounters, and you kind of question everything, and you're seeking answers. So I had come across Dr. Greer's work. I came across the Disclosure Project first, initially, and I remember having seen clips of it before, like snippets of it, but I had never seen the whole thing. So I came across the whole thing, and I was, you know, pretty amazed that something to that effect, like the Disclosure Project, had happened, and I had never heard about an event in Washington, D.C. National Press Club, where a bunch of firsthand military and intelligence witnesses came forward talking about their firsthand experiences with UFOs and the UFO cover-up. So I found that remarkable, but I dug a little deeper, and I found Dr. Greer's work on CE5, the CE5 Initiative, and C-SETI. And of course, you know, I watched some videos, and what struck me from the beginning was that when Dr. Greer was talking about the way in which contact happens, he was describing exactly the things that I had experienced during my encounters. So that stood out to me right from the get-go, and I've never heard anybody talk from such a place of knowing about encounters on that level. And again, not only, you know, was it informative, but it paralleled what I had experienced. So I dug in. I read all his books, and I signed up for a preliminary event. It was just a 3-day event. I think that event was a 2010 contact countdown to transformation event in Arizona. So you know, I studied his work, and I began practicing on a regular basis from there on until the event. And when it came to the event, even though I pretty much figured he was the real deal, considering the place he was coming from when he was speaking, and the knowledge that he had and the understanding of contact itself, I said, you know, to myself, I want some kind of validation to show that, you know, he's the real deal, that he, you know, not only talks the talk but can walk the walk in that sense. So, you know, in my own mind, I was somewhat asking for a validation of that. And the event itself was a conference slash CE5 training, so it was a 3-day event. And during the day, there were conferences and some guest speakers like Colin Andrews and Richard Hoagland and others, which, again, those characters can be seen as controversial as well, and Dr. Greer. So the first night, we did an introduction. He ran through the whole thing with contact, and we actually did a contact event. And right on the very first night, there was minor activity. Again, at this event, there were something like 200 people, and when you get that many people together for a contact event, it's not conducive to close contact. That's something I learned later on throughout all my experience. Working with a very large group, it is a bit more difficult to get a closer encounter unless everybody there is on the same page and well trained. But this was a conference slash CE5, so there were people there who were just kind of thrill seekers. Some people were just curious, and some people were very serious about it. So that kind of fragmentation is going to, change in the way that the contact will occur. So I was still asking for my validation. We did see flash bulbs and other streakers with no trails making turns, so that was significant. But I was still asking for my validation. And I did see, so we're doing another meditation outside towards the end of the evening, and I saw something that is very hard to describe. It was like a ruby red orb, maybe 15 to 20 feet away. And 20 to 30 feet up. So it was not far. It was, within the proximity of the group. It was in the immediate area. And I was just like, am I really seeing this, or is this a trick of my mind that I just want to see something because I'm at this event and I'm doing the meditation, whatever. And or is this something I just want to believe, or is that actually there? But it almost looked like as if you ever, if you stare into a light and you see that kind of after image, that's kind of how this looked, except the color was magnificent. And I saw it there. It was almost like it was embedded over reality. And I was thinking in my mind, I'm not gonna say anything about this to the rest of the group because I don't know if this is actually there. And if I mention it to the group, they're gonna think I'm nuts, right? So about 30 seconds later, Dr. Greer took his laser and pointed to the area and said, there was just a ruby red orb right over here. And that I was my mind was blown at that point. I said, okay, that was my validation, because it was clear to me that not everybody in the group saw this, because if they did, I'm sure that many of them would be gasping, because it wasn't a pretty awesome thing to see. So that was a very strong first impression for me. And the rest of the event, we did our Dr. Greer does a puja, Sanskrit puja, because that's just his method of doing things. He taught his meditation techniques, which Dr. Greer was a former transcendental meditation instructor from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi back in the early days. So he is actually an excellent meditation teacher. So if you look at it as a meditation retreat, he's a very effective teacher, and it was a great conference altogether. The CE5s were good. But again, with that many people on different pages, the encounters are not going to be as magnificent as some people who are thrill seekers would like it to be. So going forward, I left. I continued to practice on just about a daily basis. sometimes very intentively and intensely, because I had less responsibilities at this stage in my life. This is many years ago. And I continued to study, both the CE5 and my own practices, which I had already been engaged in for several years of meditation and, whatever goes with that. So I signed up for an event the following year, which is Dr. Greer's week-long Ambassadors to the Universe training. And at this point, I had already, not many people know that I brought the CE5 initiative and CE5 to social networking in 2009. So I had already been somewhat pretty deep into the contact network and the CE5 initiative with creating the original, the CE5 initiative Facebook page and Facebook group. I was already talking with a lot of the CSETI insiders, people in Dr. Greer's immediate circle, and trading information, experiences, and growing in that sense. And again, practicing very frequently on a daily basis at that point. So I signed up for a 2011 Ambassador of the Universe training, and that was in October 2011. So, I somewhat knew what to expect at this point, as far as how he runs his events, because I went to the previous one, and the first night we get there, we had a dinner and a kind of introduction and get to meet everybody. It's like a meet and greet. And then we relaxed for a little bit, and then we went straight out to the contact site, which was in the desert, a very nice, clear area. You can see horizon to horizon just about. The sky was pristine, crystal clear, ideal for contact work, and also in a remote location to minimize any kind of distractions. So even on the first night, there was decent activity as far as flash bulbs, streakers, crafts that flashed at us that were not iridium flares, because Debbie Foch was there with the satellite chart, and Debbie Foch is pretty skilled in that area as far as astronomy. She's she was involved in that in some way. I think she had a degree in astronomy as well. So the first night was, again, great meditation instruction. We did the meditation techniques, we did the meditation itself, and then after that, we did the CSETI protocols, the CE5 protocols, via Dr. Greer's instruction. And while we're out there, he's explaining, the directions and, what to look for and that kind of, CE5 field work training. So the following day, we kind of, you have a carpool group, at least in this case at, this event. So I had my kind of immediate group, and we get together in the morning, we have breakfast, yada, yada. And then we do our own private meditation, which we did. I did with my carpool group. We kind of stuck together throughout the whole training. During the day, when we weren't with the entire group together doing meditation training, remote viewing training, and kind of lectures and that kind of stuff. So, we did our own practices during the day, and then we would meet in the afternoon for Dr. Greer's meditation training. So we did meditation training during the day. He would teach us different techniques and methods of basically, for lack of a better term, you can call it ESP. He was teaching us his version of remote viewing, which is a Vedic Sanskrit version. It's a pretty gentle version, if I can call it that. It's a subtle practice, different than what he and others would consider controlled remote viewing. So we did that kind of training, and we also did a really cool training that I had never heard of before called emotive listening, which was a group exercise. And I can explain that some other time. That was a really powerful technique, and it fit more towards my own practices than remote viewing did, because in my strengths. So that is technically the second day, and going towards the nighttime, again, everybody kind of after the afternoon goes into their own thing. And he advises go eat lightly when you eat. Don't eat anything too heavy. Practice your meditation, practice the protocols, and we're going to meet back for field work in the evenings. And it kind of went like this throughout the week. So we met around between 8 and 9 p.m. We met at the contact site, and this was quite remarkable. And I'm with my carpool unit, I'll call it, my friend Chris Arader and Stefan from Germany. He came all the way from Germany. This was actually an international group. There were people from UK and Malaysia and all this. It was amazing, getting together for the same kind of purpose of contact. And my friend Stefan from Germany had never seen anything, somewhat had an encounter that was fantastic, but he believed based on the evidence he had studied. And this guy's an engineer, he's very practical minded. I believe a helicopter engineer. And so we get to the contact site, and there's some people already there. They're setting up their chairs. And just a side note, in my meditation that night, I had received the impression triangle. And again, it's good to not to try to define necessarily these impressions, because you can't assume what they're going to mean. And I was thinking, like, what triangle? I mean, I don't know if I was thinking of the CSETI triangle or any, I don't know what it was. That's the impression I got. And I was like, whatever. Okay. So we got to the contact site. There's people at their chair set up. We're going to set up our chairs and to complete the circle. And as soon as, again, we're there and we're setting up the chairs, you just hear somebody like, oh, and they're pointing in the sky. So we all look up, and there are golden flash bulbs. Okay, a flashbulb phenomena is when almost like a point of light flashes in, either stationary or moving, sometimes singular and sometimes repeatedly. In this case, there were three flashbulb crafts that were golden, which is very rare. Usually they're blue or white. To see any other color is a very rare occurrence, and these were a magnificent golden manifestation. And they were in a perfect equilateral triangle. And they were there for, I have to say, at least 10 minutes. 10 minutes at the least. And again, I'm assuming that this wasn't recorded by Dr. Greer's team, because we weren't even completely set up in the circle yet. But my friend Stefan, I remember, was like dumbfounded. His jaw was like hanging for, I mean, the whole night after that, even though other stuff occurred, like that. I knew stood out to him. Of course, I had experienced things like this before, not this exact same phenomena, but I was excited. But this kid, which I was awesome to see somebody have a first, powerful contact experience, was just like the whole night. Throughout the night, there were other manifestations of contact, which of course we had other flash bulbs, we had other crafts that would flash and then completely disappear out of the sky in a clear, crystal clear sky. They even disappeared out of the night vision's view, which and it wasn't on the satellite chart, so take a guess what that might be. There were golden orbs that were rising out off the horizon, that were judging on the distance, that they were actually quite large, because they were pretty big and relatively from how far away the horizon was, where there would be plateaus around, and it would rise up, stop, go in one direction, stop, and go in another direction, stop, and then either disappear or go down. That was happening several times throughout the night, and it wasn't any kind of cars off in the distance. It was very, it was very distinguishable, based on some of the height that they were going and the way that they were moving, and some people were looking at it through the night vision. So there were also sky quakes, which the entire sky will flash like lightning. And even at times, localized areas of the sky would flash, which is amazing, where the weather conditions did not permit any kind of lightning or heat flashes or anything like that. Of course, that there were streakers, unalleged meteor would go from horizon to horizon in an arc with no trail. And all this stuff was happening in sequence and combination throughout the night, and all this occurred throughout the week. And we would be out from about 8 p.m. to, depending, some people stayed out later, but the earliest people would turn in would really be 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Some people, like me and some others, were staying out till like 4 a.m. And even 5 a.m. and have these ongoing encounters. And Dr. Greer would lead his meditations. He transmitted his mantra meditation to us. And again, he does lead excellent meditations. Can't front there. The guy knows what he's doing. He's an adept meditation teacher for sure. And all this went on throughout the week. That's kind of It went through that whole pattern throughout the week. We'd wake up kind of late. We wouldn't have to meet until the afternoon. So if we stayed out late, we can get decent rest, wake up, do our own meditation practice, do the protocols on our own in our group, meet for the daily meditation training and the remote viewing training and the emotive listening training and all these other things. And Dr. Greer is explaining his knowledge and the way that contacts occurs, because most people think of a light in the sky, but there's a whole spectrum of contact, which I'll eventually do a video on, that's remarkable, and that when you do CE5, especially if you do it often and well, you're gonna have all these kind of things occur, from what I've seen. The last day was a bit different. Because it was the last day, instead of doing the training during the day, we all met up early out in the contact site, out in the field in the afternoon, just for the final night of contact work. And the following morning we would just go our separate ways. But this was an extremely fascinating occurrence, because again, at this point, I don't know exactly what time we met up, maybe around 2:30 or so at the contact site. But we're settling in. He said, you can bring snacks out into the field, and it's kind of like a more relaxed day. But we are still going to do serious field work and meditation and the CE5 protocols. So just about, we did our preliminary meditations and our CE5 protocols, the contact sequences that Dr. Greer advises in. And maybe around, I don't want to say three, maybe 3:30 or 4 o'clock, it's broad daylight. And I don't know who it was that pointed it out. It might have even been Dr. Greer. Says, oh, look over there. And right in the middle of a crystal clear blue sky at 4 in the afternoon, there are two brilliant objects. One of them was an amber orb, and the other one was like a sky blue orb. And they were both moving independently. So they weren't both just moving on a, you know, like a track like this. Like they were going like this, you know, and it was incredible. And I mean, especially that there were two different colors as well. You know, if people would think, oh, if those are flares or something, they're all going to be uniform color. If they're some kind of other thing, they're going to be a uniform color. But there was an amber and sky blue. Brilliant crash, and they, you know, crash manifestation or whatever you want to call it, if I can call it that, moving like this, kind of with each other independently. And I mean, they were there for maybe 2 minutes, which, in retrospect, it's not a long time, but during the experience, it's, you know, while you're observing it, time feels like it's still, it's incredible. And, these two crafts were hanging there for maybe a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes in that kind of area. And then they just winked out. Just each of them just kind of disappeared on their own at, you know, not even at the same time. While they were, you know, moving, and they just gone. And, you know, we in the group appreciated it, and it was a great way to kind of finish the contact ambassador training or ambassador to the universe training retreat. But we did a whole nother night of contact work. I think that night a lot of people turned in a little earlier because they had to get ready for their flights early in the morning. But again, it was another night of fantastic contact work. Oddly enough, you know, actually through this whole training, I should say Emery Smith was also there, which is another story. That's when Emery Smith was close with Dr. Greer. Andrew Raz was there from Brooklyn, New York, and you know, a lot of other. There we actually had a celebrity there, and that's part of why Dr. Greer has his NDA, because you know he doesn't want us to just out you know, celebrities and, you know, people who want to be discreet about going. But there was a A-lister celebrity there, who joined us for the week, which was interesting. And altogether, it was a great event. Again, I think that the prices now for CSETI, or Sirius Disclosure is what it's now called, are a little outrageous. I don't think it's conducive to training and mobilizing contact workers. And you know, when Dr. Greer had raised the prices, I did kind of protest it in a sense to his team, but they said, this is what we're doing. You know, they didn't really have control over it. That's just how it's going to go. But at the same time, the material is out there. It's free on the internet. You can find all the information you need to do your own CE5 training, your own ambassador to the universe stuff. I mean, there's videos out there of Greer giving all his stuff out from ambassador trainings. That's just out on the Sirius Disclosure YouTube channel. So if you check that out and you practice that stuff on a regular basis, it's the same thing as going to a training. You know, those trainings are more for people that want to go out there in the field with Dr. Greer personally. So it's almost like a novelty thing at this rate. But if you're somebody who's got a lot of extra moolah, I mean, it was a great experience. Back then when I went, the prices were a lot cheaper, more affordable, and more conducive to training and mobilizing contact workers. So again, that's just my somewhat short encapsulation of my experience with CSETI and Dr. Greer. Again, I know he's a controversial character, but I'm going to put there out there on my record. And I'm a skeptical individual, I would say. I'm pretty neutral. I'm pretty down the middle. I'm not extreme in any way on either side. But when it comes to CE5 and the CSETI training and all that, Dr. Greer is the real deal. Not only is he somebody who has great knowledge and experience of contact and contact work, but he's an excellent meditation teacher. He is a controversial character. And he's himself, you know, he's Dr. Greer. Dr. Greer is Dr. Greer. But the work that he's done with CE5, in my opinion, is historical. And I would definitely thank him for everything he's done. He helped me on my own path as I was having experiences and didn't know what to do with them. And hence my a lot of people are going to know me from the CE5 initiative and my work with the CE5 network and movement, starting back in about 2008, 2009. So, thank you everybody who actually sat here and listened to me ramble on this. I know it's a longer video than I like to do. I'm putting this out here for my own record. Dr. Greer CE5 is the real deal. Of course, there are many other methods of doing contact work. But if you're out there, you're curious about CSETI and CE5 and does it work? Yeah, it works. The CE5 protocols are a great guideline. The CE5 protocols are a great foolproof way of practicing and doing contact. And then if you want from there, you can do other methods and kind of build your own protocol. So again, thanks everybody for listening to this whole spiel. I know it's a long one, but if you're interested in CE5, it's the real deal. And when it comes to the contact work, so is Dr. Greer. All right, take care.